The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Last week when we rolled out the Arrowhead, I didn't think Marco was seeing outside my car. I had this blasting. I was bumping outside Arrowhead, getting my mind right before we did interviews. Now we got Gary Dieter and the sausage Anthony Sherman learning more about Nate's background and why he is the way he is. I'd like to mention this right off the bat. Is tomorrow we're going to have a countdown special, a Border Patrol primetime special. We're going to be out at the new Johnny's Tavern in Parkville right off 435. We're going to be there from 5 until 7, but then the show will be from 6 until 7. It'll be me. We finally got Nate Bucati to commit about 45 minutes ago, so he's going to be there. Kept hemming and hawing on the fence. You're going to be there.
I didn't know if I was ever officially invited.
Are you going to be there? I've invited you repeatedly.
Yeah.
And our special guests, Gary Dieter, and then I was shunned by the sausage Anthony Sherman, unless Gary Dieter just didn't want you there and never asked you. I know that's...
No, he did ask
me. He did ask
me?
Okay.
I have date night.
That's fine.
It's important.
So.
You can't mess with date night.
But then I thought about it. I wonder if Gary just, waited 5 minutes. No, Sherman said no. He can't be there.
I mean, I could see that happening, too.
You got someone in his stead that will be there, right?
Yes, I got Cornell Powell. So,
all right,
drafted Chiefs receiver a couple years ago, been on the P squad, and I like him. He's a good kid, and I think he's been under the radar, obviously, being on P squad, but it'll be good for Chiefs fans to hear him. He's a good kid, so I'm excited for him to come out and get on the radio a little bit.
This is a very good place to watch Chiefs games, to watch any games, Johnny's Tavern. So go to Johnny's Tavern in Parkville tomorrow from 5 until 7 o'clock. And the countdown to kickoff will be also brought to you by Nate, Greenlight Dispensary, outstanding customer service, superior product, and continuously voted Missouri's best. GreenlightDispensary.com. And so we are, it's going to be a very high level of conversation coming up on Friday night.
What? We like to break these games down. We're really going to get into the weeds on a lot of this.
Thank you, Greenlight Dispensary. Yes. Thank you, Johnny's Tavern in the Northland, closer to my neck of the woods. So stop on by. It's right off 435 and 45 Highway. You can't miss it. And we'll be there. And then, thank you for asking about the basketball team. Then I will have to be whisked away right then because we have an 8:30 tip off on Friday night for the St. Gabe's girls.
Prime time.
It's appropriate to sponsor we have since the Chiefs, once again, with a home playoff game, are going to be playing on grass.
That's exactly right. So now, have you guys heard about this ankle with Patrick Mahomes? I don't know if you've been...
I've heard something about it. I don't know what's going on.
So, did you see it when it happened live?
I did not see it. Okay. I was coming home from my boys' basketball game, and I missed it.
Okay, so did you see it live?
I did see it live.
When you saw it live, what did you think?
I thought it was an ankle sprain.
You didn't think it was anything worse? You think it was?
No, I didn't think it was worse than that. But ankle sprains are pretty tough, and you could tell he was in a lot of pain. But they got the right things to get him back right. And when you have somebody like Chad Henne back there that you have confidence in, I think that's why Coach Reed kind of pulled the plug on Pat in the first half, was to get Chad out there, to get him some reps. And obviously, Chad, anytime Chad gets in there, he's going to do well. So it was good to see him get in there and get a little playoff experience before before this game in case something else happens.
Chad Henne has now helped this football team win two divisional playoff games, one against Cleveland and then a 98-yard touchdown drive against Jacksonville. Here is this is from Mic'd Up. In the NFL, they had the divisional round. They have it on YouTube. You can watch the video of all the different games and mic'd up and what was being said. This is when Patrick Mahomes was trying not to go get his x-rays and trying to stay in the game.
I'm good. Helmet I didn't want to go get the x-rays or whatever it was. I wanted just to continue to play. I told him I would do it at halftime.
No, I'll do it at halftime.
And so you hear him saying, no, no way. And so and then he threw his coat down, but then they got him back there. And so for people that don't – have you had to go get checked during a game or anything else? Or, like, you guys have knowledge of the stadium. Like, Al, you got to run back in there. Like what, I mean, that's boom, in and out, and get back out there?
I mean, it can be in and out, but it is an x-ray. So you got to make sure the machine's up, running, ready to go. And it'd probably be 5-10 minutes maybe before.
Probably like 200 yards away from the tunnel. You have to go up the tunnel, hang a hard left, hang a left, hang a right, go straight.
Yeah, it's back there a little bit, but it's not bad. I mean, it's close. It's in between the two locker rooms. But, yeah, I mean, I can see why he didn't want to, because he's such a competitor. He didn't want anything bad to happen when he wasn't out there. But at the same time, Coach Reed cares about the player and not necessarily what the game is about. So he wanted to make sure he was good before he went out there and did any more damage to his ankle.
So, I mean, you didn't think it was anything worse. But, I mean, a high ankle sprain, the right kind of high ankle sprain could have you out, you know, a month.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, watching the game, nobody knows, and you're scared to death. And then you see him throw the coat down and go back for the x-ray. And then when he came back, they didn't put him right back in the game, and so everyone's like, oh, no.
Right.
They told him he's out. He's not going to come back in. But then ultimately he comes back in. How do you think he looked in the second half? Like, what was your reaction to the way he played in the second half? Clearly, he led the team to the touchdown that put it away in the fourth quarter, but there was he had some issues.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously is not going to be himself if you have an injury like that and the type of player Pat is. Especially, I mean, you saw how he started the game. He was playing like himself. He was running around like crazy, making all the sorts of throws, jump throws, everything you could ever imagine. He's kind of put it on full display, and then that injury happened, and he was, I mean, obviously a little limpy. And I think watching the handoffs was kind of the hardest thing for me to watch, was because, I mean, I'm not a running back. I don't know. I mean, I imagine those handoffs are, like, you want to get the ball as soon as possible. And I feel like some of those run plays, Pat was, I mean, it was a little slow getting back there, and that can kind of mess up the, I think, the offensive line and the running back. But
the timing.
It's all about timing.
So
he was hopping on one leg to hand it off.
When I saw that, I was like, man, just, they had the lead, so I would have kept Chad in. And to me, Chad can play with the lead and win the game. So, I don't know. I would have kept Chad in, but that's just me.
I think for Chiefs fans, it would be great to see – it was great to see him go back out there. So you knew it wasn't crazy serious, that he did come out and play and he did throw the ball a little bit and got the job done. I think with situations like that, the game plan and the way he's practiced all week isn't going to be great for an ankle injury during that game. But for this week, they know it could be an issue. They're going to game plan for it. They're going to know they need to get the ball out quick because he can't extend plays or whatever. The offensive line knows, hey, Pat can't move, so we need to be better, give a good pocket, let him step up and make a good throw. So I think he'll be a lot better this game than the second half of last game, but we'll see what happens.
They know what he can do. They know what he can't do. They have a better feel for that, and they have a game plan around it. I want to, before we move on, I want to talk more about Chad Henne, because we were talking about guys that, you know, have made their living as a backup quarterback because they're good in the quarterback room. They can be trusted. You know they're going to be prepared. But still, that's – I don't care how experienced you are, to be able to go into a playoff game and knowing that Mahomes' status is up in the air, and you go in, the ball's at the 2-yard line. And just to go right in and calmly drive the ball down the field and put the team in the end zone, that's remarkable. And for people that have wondered, you know, why is Chad Henne the backup quarterback? Why not a younger, more developmental quarterback? Well, there you go. That's why.
That situation right there. I mean, you've got a guy that is started in the NFL. He's played a lot of games. He's experienced. He's been in this system for over probably six years now, and knows the reads and knows the route concepts and knows where Coach Reed wants the ball. and he understands timing and understands, you know, his drops and where he needs to be and his reads. So for a guy like that, there's nothing he hasn't seen already before. So he just knew he can go out there. And if you play with a little bit less stress because you are the backup quarterback. So ideally you're like, okay, well, I am the backup, but I want to go out there and prove that I can still play in this league. So for him, he probably played a little bit looser, and those guys did a great job of getting open, and coach had a good script on that drive and let him execute.
And they ran the ball effectively,
yep.
Which was very huge. Important. All right, so you saw the second half. You've seen now, I'm sure, the videos. I took a video of him walking to the podium and walking back. There's videos of him warming up before practice, not wearing a boot. Knowing him the way you do, what do you expect on Sunday? Like, how compromised do you think he's going to be on Sunday?
I don't think he'll be – I mean, obviously he's not going to be 100%, but I think he'll be – I think he'll look pretty solid. I think he'll be moving around a little bit better than people think. It seems like he's been working out every single night with this trainer, and obviously he's going to be doing treatment and stuff up at the facility. But so he's bought into this this injury, and he's doing everything in his power to make it I'd say – if I had to put a percentage, I think he'd be like 85%.
85%, Marco. 85%.
He's one of those quarterbacks that can throw the ball probably better than most without his plant foot and do all these crazy things. And for us as Chiefs fans, that's a great person to have with an ankle injury like that, because he'll figure out a way this week to make sure he's accurate and throws the ball well, even if it's favoring that right ankle. So he'll go out there and play well.
Can I just say that it makes me very happy to hear you say, Garrick, that you would have taken him out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because during the game, I tweeted out, I seriously would have benched Mahomes after the first two passes he threw this drive. The fact that he led the drive and finished with the pass, he just does things you're not supposed to be able to do, but I'd seriously sit him. And I got a lot of comments, and Stephen will like this very much. One guy said, "That's why you're a soccer guy."
That's right.
Yeah.
That was from Gary Dieter, I think.
But, because obviously I know Mahomes is tough, but to me it was the two things that I was thinking when watching it was, I actually have faith in Henny.
Yeah.
I don't feel like the drop, obviously Mahomes is better than everybody, but the drop-off isn't so bad. It's like, oh, we can't score with Henny out there. We can't run the offense with Henny. He had already shown he could lead a 98 touchdown drive. And also, I was worried about Mahomes getting hurt even worse, because he looked to me like he couldn't protect himself with his legs. Like, he lost all of his mobility. So that was why I was thinking that. I mean, I don't know what, the fact that they kept him in the game.
Yeah, that was my thought, was like, yeah, he's hurt now. You put him back in. Like you said, he could easily get rolled up on again and really hurt that thing worse than what it was. So, and when you have a lead and you have a quarterback that can keep a lead, why not run with him? And I think that's why you saw Chad in the game in the first place instead of Pat going back out there when he was asking to go back in, because Coach Reed has full confidence in him. The whole staff does, and he showed why.
Okay, so the other thing that was being said, look, just get to halftime and they can help him. They could retape whatever else if he's gonna take a shot, whatever. Get to halftime and see how he is. How much can you actually do with an ankle injury like that in a game that's going to help you to be able to get through it?
I mean, there's some things out there that you can do, a numbing shot to the ankle, especially if it's not going to cause any more damage to the ankle.
But you have to determine that first. Like, okay,
yeah,
you
have to make sure that it's not. Over, like, then those, the doctors and the trainers know, do a great job of knowing exactly. They've seen so many ankles, they've seen so many different injuries that they know, like, hey, if you did take this, we have a strong possibility that you should be fine. It won't damage anything else. And then you don't feel it as much, and you're able to use it more than you originally thought.
So now let's say if you're Cincinnati and their defense, and you're game planning for this, are you doing anything different? Do you think you're just going with the same type of game plans? There's always adjustments, But from their vantage point, you don't want to have it in your head that he's going to be anything less than 100% because he can still come out and rip your heart out.
Right.
What are you doing if you're game planning to play against Mahomes this weekend?
I feel like they're going to do exactly what they did last year. I think if you guys heard that little segment with, I feel like as their D coordinator, I think it was on the Pat McAfee show, he was talking about the ring around the rosy play. He said if they come out in that, like, we have our keys, like, we have what we're supposed to do, so we'll be fine. But he was like, at the end of the day, fine, Travis Kelce. So I feel like they're going to have a huge emphasis on Kelce, and, I mean, why not? I don't know. That's why I don't get with if I'm a defensive coordinator, like, especially the Jags, how do you let a guy like Kelce get 14 catches? It doesn't make sense to me. And obviously Kelce's good enough to exploit defenses if he's doubled or not, but, man, it's like – all right, who's on their team, got the guy who's getting the first down every time? It's Kelce. Why are we not stopping him? So that's what I expect to see. Kelce hit every single play. I expect him double teamed every single play, and somebody else is going to have to step up, probably two or three guys.
I don't think you can game plan any differently than having Pat Mahomes as the quarterback, because you can't really game plan for the stuff he does. You can't game plan for the roll left, the roll right, the step up, the potential run, pump fake, and then just dumps it over. You can't game plan for that. Regardless of what you put in, your guys still need to execute the scheme that you've installed, and none of that stuff really matters when he's doing that stuff. So I think they're going to game plan as Pat Mahomes is Pat Mahomes, and you know, maybe they don't get as many of those, but other than that, I think they can't really do much.
So you talked about other people stepping up. Mecole Hardman was back in practice, a limited participant after they kind of backed off of him last week. Is it unreasonable to hope that he could play and actually make an impact after missing so much time on Sunday?
It's tough to say. I mean, he should have fresh legs. So, I mean, only he knows how he feels. And I feel like everybody's kind of been wondering why he's not playing. And I've kind of been in the same boat. So
they described it as a pelvic.
Yeah.
Pelvis.
They said it says he hasn't felt like himself. So
and he lost.
Yeah, they said he lost a bunch of weight, and he's already a pretty small guy. So obviously you have to be able to put a little bit of weight back on to play in the NFL and not get injured. But I don't know. I hope he plays and hope he makes an impact, because he's somebody that I feel like the Chiefs have been missing the last 4 or 5 weeks.
There's Mitchell Schwartz on NFL Network.
I saw that.
Making that offensive line matchups. Okay, Nate?
Well, I just wanted to go back to something, Sherm, that you said about the offensive game plan, you know, trying to get the ball out quickly, because maybe you do factor in that he's not going to be as mobile, Mahomes, as he normally is. The thing that's amazing about Mahomes, he always says, like, his 40 times, like, one step faster than whoever's chasing him. He seems to find a way to... How much of that do you think we're going to get to see? How much of that, I guess that we'll just, nobody really knows, but like, is he still going to be able to make some of those types of plays, do you think, on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, you saw it when he got that first down and he hopped on one leg and broke a tackle and still got the first down. So you'll see a little bit of it. I don't know how much. But like what Gehrig was saying about Travis, like Coach Reed and the staff and EB and all those guys do a phenomenal job of scheming guys open. So regardless of being double team, either it's a motion or a shift or, you know, whatever they do, they can get them off the ball or on, like they can move guys around and scheme people open regardless of what that team's trying to do. And Kelce reads the defense as good as a quarterback, so he'll know exactly, you know, what leverage to play and push, you know, push one guy and break to the other, and he knows what he's doing, so we'll be fine.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about I want to get you guys' reaction to all the Bengals trash talk leading up to this game. This is a lot of fun, but first I'm going to read a tweet.
Oh boy.
This guy right here. This guy right here. That's all I can say. I follow...
For the listeners, he's pointing at Gehrig Dieter.
Not you, for sure. I follow an artist, a Chiefs artist, that draws portraits and paints of the Chiefs. And I saw this. This is inspirational. I want to see what you say about this. This is from Caitlin Snelling. Art by Caitlin. I got to meet Gehrig Dieter before I went on the news, and that was super cool. but I was really nervous at the time, so I pretty much just stood there awkwardly. It was nice meeting you, Gehrig, and thank you for the boost of confidence before I went on TV. So this guy's meeting people. He detects that she's nervous and giving her a boost of confidence. What do you say about that guy?
I mean, he's a special individual.
Right.
You know, he's experienced it. He knows it. So he probably just gave her a little advice and said there's nothing to worry about. I'm wondering if this was yesterday when he had
that
extremely bright colored yellow shirt on TV that actually kind of hurt your eyes when he got on.
Was it?
It was yesterday. Walked in the green room. She was in there standing up. You could tell she was pretty nervous. Just asked her what she does and just told her, just relax. You got this.
But yeah, the yellow shirt.
You can't look sillier than I am.
It's easy.
TV,
so I go on there and I got my chicken and pickle neon green, the Dave Johnson special. And so I'm on the segment and I throw my phone in the back and I look at my watch. Sherm calls me like 8 times just trying to get me to answer. And I
wasn't even trying to get the answer. I was hoping it was on so it would go off.
So I walk off and like my buddy Chad is laughing and I'm like, what? He's like, shows me a screenshot of like what I look like on TV. My shirt was blinding. You could say very, very much blinding.
It was eye catching.
It was the brand's out there. So you're welcome.
Yeah. So then I start, then people are replying about Gary Dieter. And I see one from Larry. Larry says, one of my favorite players of all time. Miss having he and Meg Dieter in Chiefs Kingdom. Larry, they're still here. You're still here. You're Chiefs Kingdom.
You didn't leave.
Larry was not me loyal 810 listener, I guess.
Larry thinks you're out.
Come on, Larry.
Larry, Gary Dieter's in.
I'm right here.
He thinks Chiefs you left the kingdom.
How about
all time great?
He's a man of the people.
All time great, man. You can't deny it.
Yeah. One of my favorite Chiefs
players
of all time.
He's even verified, too. Like, that's a big deal.
Exclamation point. He's like yelling at one of my favorite Chiefs players of all. But he's sad that he's no longer in Chiefs Kingdom. He's sad that he left town.
Well, Larry needs to get on and start listening.
Right.
May he rest in peace, Gary Dieter.
Sorry that he's no longer with us. Boy, he really got a kick out of that.
Jeez, man. Come on, man.
Now here's a good one.
I know you're in Chiefs Kingdom.
Now this is, boy, this will catch you. They'll pull your heartstrings. Then Chiefs Jones tweets, Gehrig is awesome. My daughter got picked on in middle school for being autistic, and he caught wind of it and sent her an autographed football. It meant so much to her. Damn it, Gary Dieter.
Just a man of the people, man.
Better
just
man,
a man
than
of
us.
The people.
Better man than us.
We don't hear about this stuff. He's doing all these things, and people are
standing up for him.
Did you know this about him?
I didn't know he did that. No, I mean,
lives?
I knew he's a good guy. I didn't realize that he would be this good. But.
Right.
Hey, they don't make him like me anymore, man.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
That was the problem.
Wow.
He's also humble.
He's been waiting He's been waiting to get that humble. One out of his
That's right. That's right.
The thing is,
they don't make them like him anymore.
That's right. They broke the mold when they made Gehrig
Dieter.
That was
the point. All right.
And, you know, I'm thinking when you're reading all this stuff, the way that life works out, you don't know how things are going to work out in life. And there was this day when the Kansas City Royals had their home opener, and Steven and I ended up over at this pregame party at Arrowhead Stadium. And a young Patrick Mahomes and Gehrig Dieter walked by, and Steven and I responded like two middle school girls and ran over and asked for a picture with Patrick Mahomes. And Gehrig Dieter did one of the greatest photo bombs in history.
No, I haven't seen this.
It's my favorite photo.
I think it was Steven, Nate, and Miller Lite reacted. Like,
yeah, I would have just said I was security. I'll take the picture for you or something like that.
Why is that thing not hanging up in here?
That's the real should question. Be because who would have thought we'll like it. All these years later, you know, we would all be in the same studio together. But I remember, like, Jake Gutierrez was disgusted by me and our behavior. He's like, you guys are acting pathetic.
Jake was also super high at the time, and so I don't think he needed to say anything to anyone. We'll take a break back after this on WHB.
If you catch me at the border, I got visas in my name. If you come around, hey, I'll make them all day. I get one.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Okay, in the final moments of Cincinnati's victory over Buffalo, on video, a few of the Bengals defensive backs were talking into the camera. Marco, play this, and this is what they were saying.
We'll see y'all in Burrowhead.
Yeah, baby.
Let that sink in your mind. We'll see y'all in Burrowhead.
We'll see you all in Burrowhead. Gary Dieter, your thoughts?
It's pretty creative. It's pretty funny. Like, who was talking about the rivalry before? Lezak?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's, I mean, this is that perfect moment for the Chiefs to shut them all up and really take a, I mean, like, especially the DBs, Eli Apple, like, there's nothing worse than that guy after the game on Twitter.
I mean, if he has a bad game, I cannot wait to see what people say to him.
What did I say yesterday?
Because
Twitter is going to be on fire just from Buffalo players.
Yep. Oh, it's going to be a lovely time to be on Twitter if that happens.
One reason I wish Tyreek was still here just to cook that guy up. But, man, there's nothing worse than him on Twitter. He makes himself. I feel like he digs himself in a bad hole when he's done playing football. Nobody likes him. I feel like Bengals guys, fans don't even like him.
There were like four other NFL teams that didn't like him before he ended up in Cincinnati. So this is Travis Kelce on the Heights podcast when he was addressing the Bengals, calling Arrowhead Burrowhead.
Marco. Getting everybody fired up. We are the loudest stadium in the world on record. 142 decibels.
Did you guys break the record this week?
I don't know. Maybe we're going to have to break it this week because a lot of Cincinnati Bengals fans are calling it Burrowhead instead of
Burrowhead.
Arrowhead.
Whoa!
Yeah.
The disrespect to Arrowhead continues.
They're throwing a lot of bulletin board material out there, Ron.
Players on the team care about all these things that Cincinnati is saying? Jesse Bates, the safety, said, I want Mahomes to be 100%, so there's no excuses. Just basically saying, hey, we're going to beat him, so we just don't want any excuses. So I want him 100%. Defensive backs, Eli Apple calling it Burrowhead.
I think that's what's good about sports, man. That rivalry, that trash talking, I think you need that, and I think it gives obviously it gives the guys more motivation to win and play harder and to try to make that guy look bad, but at the same time it's that bulletin board material, that the stuff that you saw what happened when the Chiefs did that against Cincinnati earlier in the year. It's like it doesn't play out to your, it's not going to be good for you, so let the other guys do it and just hope you come out and play your game and make them look bad.
Justin Reed was given an opportunity to respond yesterday, and he politely declined and just said, hey, we'll focus on the game.
Yep, Coach Reed he made sure of it. I mean, he knew what Cincinnati was going to do. He knows what type of guys those are, and, I think he shut that down pretty quick.
Yeah, he did a good job of not saying anything. But, no, it's fun to watch, the trash talking and them have their confidence and stuff like that, but everyone has confidence until he gets hit in the mouth. So
that's right.
We'll see. I get fired up over that stuff. I don't know why, but I still get fired up. I was talking to Gary the other day about how I can't wait to see someone just take out Eli Apple and put him back to last year and how bad he was. He forgets that he lost the Super Bowl for him.
Cooper right.
Cup ate him up. No one wants to, he doesn't want to talk about that. He just wants to talk about that last game. And I don't even know. I haven't watched him enough this year to say he's having a great season or not. I think he just had a good game, and now he thinks he's the man. So we'll see what happens. It'll be a fun time if the Chiefs pull this out and they beat him and what people are going to go after him about.
I feel like DBs, though, you have to be like that. I feel like that's the one position on the field where
you have to have
crazy confidence. If you don't have confidence, things are not going to go well for you, especially in the NFL with the amount of talent that's on the other side of the ball.
Yeah, I think the word crazy confidence is appropriate too, because you have to have confidence even after you get burned.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you have to act like, well, that didn't even happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you do, for sure.
You know?
I always find it funny when, like, it was Christian Kirk that dropped that deep ball, and then I think it was Juan did, like, the
incomplete.
I'm like, I'm like,
oh, I love that.
You love that?
No, I love the fact that he. It's like, you didn't do anything. Yeah. He actually beat you and caught the ball. Was going
to
catch the ball.
You have the confidence to say, like, I did that. But it was really, he just dropped the ball.
Yeah.
So, one other point I wanted to ask you guys about, because we've talked a lot about special teams this year with the Chiefs. The kicking game, the punts are good, everything else is good. But they gave up two big kick returns to Agnew. And after the first one, I thought, well, Butker can just kick this out of the end zone. Don't mess with this, because when you've got a team that's down, one of the few things that could spark a comeback would be a big return. And then Butker made that tackle. That would have been a touchdown. That could have altered the game. Were you surprised that they kicked to him again? Do you think that was a mistake by Butker? Is that Tobe saying, no, kick to him, we want to try to pin him back? What do you think happened there?
I feel like after the first one, definitely Toe was like, all right, we're not kicking on these guys anymore. But I don't know. It didn't seem like Bucker can – it doesn't seem like he's kicking the ball as much ease as he normally does. So I don't know. They got to – I tweeted during the game, like, Kemp's got to be up on special teams. Like, he makes a difference. He makes a lot of plays that people don't really see coming down on kickoff. And I feel like he's a missing piece that – they brought him up for the game, but they didn't dress him. So I'm like, you got to get that guy out there somehow. He definitely is a difference maker on special teams, and I would love to see him out there this week.
Yeah, I don't think they planned to kick to them again. I think maybe that first one was planned to see, you know, you can set the tone. And then after that, I think it was just a miss hit. I don't know if it was windy or not, or, you know, however it was. It got hung up in there. He maybe didn't kick the ball clean, and he ended up taking it out, and you know, luckily Bucker made a tackle or dove in front of him. I don't know if we call it a tackle, but he got him down on the ground. It's we'll see how it goes this week, because special teams can be a huge impact in the game if you allow it to be.
It's like I somebody said this to me the other day, like, you know, if something's been a problem for you all season, the chances are that it could show up in the postseason too. And that's the part where I'm like, man, I just hope it doesn't end up like something in special teams does something to hurt the team. But at least they were making their kicks last time, right?
I mean, they look confident.
They look good. Yeah, I mean, I think confident. It was just a missed kick. I mean, that's tough trying to, you know, I remember Butker, it was never like, you would never tell him to try to kick it to the back of the end zone. Like, he would just just go kick it. And that's when he would get it to the back of the end zone. So I don't know if he got in his mind, like, I need to kick this to the back of the end zone, or they're going to take it out or whatever. And he can miss kick it. I mean, it's just one of those things where I don't know kicking well enough or soccer.
You don't?
To know where the ball is.
Weren't you our onside kicker at one point?
Yeah, I mean, I was the onside kick in the playoffs, but, like, that's just a little bunt down the middle, you know? That wasn't a
How did you become kickoff. The guy that does the onside kicks?
Friday morning, special teams practices. We would do, like, special teams goes out there first. We practice for, like, 45 minutes before the rest of the team comes out. And at the end, it's always onside kicks and onside kick recovery. And you kind of get the messing around towards the end of it, and Tobe would always – throw somebody in there, and sure, those bunt kicks, you have to have somebody. It's not going to be the kicker that goes in there. And
it can be, but they just don't want contact.
Yeah, they don't want. Yeah. They want somebody that can kick the ball, run down full speed into somebody, and get the ball back. And Sherm had a couple good kicks, and once you do that, you impress the coaches a little bit, and you get the whole team hyping them up. And
yeah, just, I mean, I did a lot of. It was the backup of a lot of positions, so it was never good enough to be the starter, but. Well, it was decent enough to be the guy that would back someone up in emergency situations.
And then it fell onto Bert the following year.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm telling you.
Oh, good.
So it's That's like awesome. Anybody could do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I didn't say I was good at it. He just put me there.
It seemed like a job that you would have loved, though. Like, I'm gonna just roll the ball 10 yards and then run at somebody as hard as I can, smash into him, and recover the ball.
Yeah, that was the whole goal.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I would have loved to get an opportunity. It was always against Gehrig, and that would have been a bad day for him.
You got
to
get the fullbacks involved somehow, because they're not playing on offense. You know what I mean?
Hey, special teams warriors, man.
So do you think this is a matchup between the two best quarterbacks in the NFL on Sunday?
I've been arguing with a couple of my buddies I played with in college about Burrow. They don't think he's that good.
Which school was that?
SMU.
Okay.
Pony up. And I don't know. It's I think he's good. I think he's very good.
Why don't
good.
They think what's the what? Why don't they think he's good at? What that was
they,
a terrible sentence.
They don't think he's not good. They don't think he's elite. Like okay. they're like, look at his receivers, look at his weapons. And I'm like, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you have Jamar, who's like a true number one receiver, and then you have T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, who are like true number two receivers. So you have three top dogs playing receiver. But he makes so many plays that don't show up in the stat book. So for me, I think he's elite. If ranking him, you got to put him second behind Pat. I mean,
my thing is, like, all these people are like, oh, you know, this is going to decide the big dog in the AFC for quarterback. It's like, well, yeah, but until he wins an actual Super Bowl, he can get there a bunch of times and never win. So that's great, but you couldn't win the big, big game.
I don't know, but, like, if the Chiefs lose this game, what is that, four in a row or five in a row?
It's four in a row.
That's not
but
good.
But then
that's
they go and lose a Super Bowl. I mean,
yeah, but
how many times did
they're talking about the big dog of the AFC, not the?
That's what I'm saying, though.
So they wouldn't be the big dog if they beat the Chiefs.
Pat Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
So they're talking about who would be the best quarterback in the NFL at that point if this game goes to Cincinnati.
Big dogs.
I just don't see it. Like, I mean, how many times did Joe Flacco beat Tom Brady in the playoffs?
Times.
And he was never in the same category. Or, I mean, I guess Eli Manning's a different scenario because he beat him in the Super Bowl. But all these guys.
Yeah, but nobody would say Eli Manning's better than Tom Brady.
Exactly.
Right?
I don't think anybody's saying. I don't think
Joe. No, they're saying it. They're saying that Burrow is better than Pat Mahomes if he wins this game.
Yeah, what did Peter Schrager say on that? As he said, if Burrow wins this game, you cannot argue that Mahomes is better than Burrow. And I say, yes, I can. And I will.
I feel like Joe Burrow would even say he's better than Pat.
You said he would say he's better than Pat?
I think he wouldn't say that.
Oh, you wouldn't think
that? I
don't
know. You think he would?
He's pretty cocky.
He is.
I think that's one of the things that makes him so good.
He'd say it while smoking a cigar.
I don't know. I don't think he would.
We'll have to find out.
I'm better than Sherman at a lot of things.
It is still a team football game. I mean, you know, like, I know the quarterback's the most important guy on the field by far. But there are a lot of other players that are going to have something to say about this game. I mean, if nobody ever sacks Joe Burrow from the Chiefs, that's, you know.
This game's going to be one up front with the Chiefs' offensive line dominating the Bengals' defensive line and keeping them away from Pat and Chris Jones and the boys getting after that beat up Bengals' offensive line.
It is beat
the
up.
Only way.
But it was, it was a lot of snow in Buffalo, right?
Which is, I've played in snow before, and Garrick has. It does slow the defensive line down. I mean, they need the edge. They need that quick move, the spin move inside where you just can't do it on the snow.
So that helped mask some of the deficiencies of the offensive line for Cincinnati. They're going to get here, and it's going to be, it might be cold, but it's going to be dry. And so the hope is maybe those injuries on the offensive line will show up more on Sunday as opposed to the snow game.
I think I'd like to say it should show up more if the Chiefs do a good job of stopping the short game and letting him get the ball out before it's physically possible to get to him. So if they bust through that line, you know, you get a free blitzer coming through the A gap, but it's a slant or it's a quick out route or something where he gets the ball out before he can even get there, it doesn't matter. So they need to do a good job of staying on their guy and keeping him where he has to hold that ball, and I think that is when the Chiefs will start making plays.
I've been saying this week, and I don't think I'm putting too much pressure on him or anything. Chris Jones is a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year.
Prove it.
Yeah, this is the game.
Yep.
This is the game. The great. If you're the best defensive player in the NFL, whether you're getting double teamed or not, you didn't get a sack against Burrow in the playoffs last year, and he's talked about it. He talked about it at the end of last season. He talked about it at the beginning of this season. That stuck with him. This is the game, right? That's not too much to say.
No, Aaron Donald has done it the last 3 years. He's proven it. I mean, look at him in the playoffs last year.
Look at the drive against Burrow. Yeah. He almost single-handedly stopped that drive.
Yeah.
And that's how you remember it.
Yeah. I think Chris.
If you want to be the best, this is the game where
Burrow
you go
had
out
the
prove
ball,
it.
And that's the other difference right now. When Mahomes was in the Super Bowl down late in the fourth quarter, he got his team in the end zone. Burrow, I know it was against Aaron Donald, but San Francisco has a good defense too. Burrow had that same chance last year. He didn't do it.
Yeah, I mean,
you credit Aaron Donald, but still, he didn't do it.
I think I think Chiefs scored that Super Bowl because of Anthony Sherman, Damian Williams.
I mean, yeah, that was already when we went up 11. Yeah, but like, I appreciate that, Garrick.
You put the nail in the coffin. You know what I mean?
Finishing touches.
Trying to get you a block.
I appreciate that. No, I'm getting fired up of talking about offense and defensive line right now.
Yeah.
No, I think that Chris has obviously heard it and notices it himself, and I think he can be, when he wants to go, he can be by far a complete game wrecker in every aspect of the game, run game, pass game, everything. So if he comes out there and he gives everything he's got, every play he's out there, it's going to be a blowout.
And Frank Clark, we've talked a lot about this. And look, there are so many other different ways he could affect a game besides getting sacks. Chris Jones, he had a great Super Bowl. He didn't get a sack. He's batting down passes, collapse of the pocket, everything else. But Frank Clark does get sacks in the postseason. He's in the top five now all time. I mean, which is wild. 12.5 sacks in the postseason. But he could be the biggest beneficiary, too, if Chris Jones has a great game and the double team in him. Frank Clark's got to take advantage of that opportunity.
Yeah, I think Frank Clark will come out and do what he does in these big games and get a crucial sack late in the game and a big third down or something or fourth down, whatever it is, like he's done his whole career here. He'll do another one this week.
We were talking about the corners having to have short memories and all that. I got a chance to talk to Jalen Watson yesterday. Didn't realize he'd been playing with a broken hand, by the way, and that interception he had, the one-handed interception last weekend, was on the broken hand. I thought that was kind of cool, but just talking to him made me realize, like, okay, he's gone up against this Bengals receiving core once already, and I just wonder how different is it going to be for those, because it's rookie DBs out there, right? McDuffie, him, maybe Josh Williams some. How different is it for those guys right now than it was at the beginning of the season or even the first time they played the Bengals?
So for them, it's you lose that, oh my, it's Ja'Marr Chase. Like you lose that, like,
that
it factor
or whatever, yeah,
of already playing him once and being so far into the season and getting to play him again. Not saying that he isn't unbelievable and he's going to make a difference, but you lose that it factor when you play against those guys. Like, you know, first time guys playing against Tom Brady. It's like, we're playing against Tom Brady. Like, wow. And then the second time you're playing, like, it's like, all right, he's a great quarterback, but we know what we can do to stop him or any of these guys.
What kind of score are we looking at, Gary Dieter? High scoring, low scoring, what do we got?
I would say it'll be in the 20s. We'll go 31-28, Chiefs. 31-28.
That's 30 and you said 20.
No, but I'm saying, like, just
– you meant the, Bengals are only going to score 20.
You got to hear my thought. Like, if you – just go up 2 from 20, it's 30. So
he did say it's going to be the 20s.
He said 31. I'm going to change my mind, though. It's going to be like 31-27. Nah, 31-30. It's going to be in the 30, boys.
So now you're going through the 30s.
No, the 30s.
It's in the 30s. The 20s, hey, those were last week.
Hey, we got to work through this. You know, you got to work through it.
31-30. I'm going to say 24-17.
What?
Chiefs.
So Sherm's got it in the 30s. All right.
That's no way. Bengals, no.
He said no way to you.
I mean, he just went from 20s to 30s to 17 different. I mean, you heard me. I said it once, and that's what I'm sticking with. And he changed it 6 times.
Twice.
3.
You're locked in on this now. 31-30.
31-30.
24-17.
Yep.
All right. And I want to mention, again, Sherm, we're sad you can't be there, but you gotta take care of date night. I don't blame you. But I'm going to be out there with Nate Bucati, Gary Dieter, and Cornell Powell. The Parkville Johnny's Tavern right off 435 and 45 Highway. Come out and see us. We're going to be there tomorrow from 5 until 7. We'll be on the air from 6 until 7. It's going to be a great time out there with Gary Dieter and Cornell Powell. Nate Bucati has agreed to be there. I'm going to be there. So stop by and see us. Enjoy some happy hour specials at Johnny's Tavern, some delicious food. Make your plans. If you're not going to the game, you can watch the game there. You can have dinner with us on Friday night. It's going to be terrific. So stop by and say hello. And again, Johnny's Tavern, thank you for having us. And thank you to our sponsor for our countdown to kickoff, Greenlight Dispensary, greenlightdispensary.com. Gary Dieter, we'll see you tomorrow.
Can't wait.
Anthony Sherman, we'll see you next week.
Well, hopefully we'll be talking about a great game going to the Super Bowl.
That's right. Next week we'll be, yes, hopefully, like you said, previewing who the Chiefs are playing in the Super Bowl. Back after this on WHB.